Well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560, hour number two, myself, Andy, Charlie, and Lindsay Singer joining us now, Colorado Rising Action. Lindsay, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on with you.
No, thank you very much. We appreciate it. So we've got propositions that are on the ballot. Folks actually, in some cases, may have voted their ballot or are getting ready to because they have hit the mailboxes. So talk to us.
Yeah. So I think the last time we talked, we were still trying to gather signature for some of these. And we did. We succeeded. So now it's the time to get people out to vote on them. So one of the big ones is Proposition 117, mm-hmm. the Vote on Fees Initiative. It's all about closing the loophole that the legislators have found around asking voters for tax increases.
They call them fees, and away we go.
Right. And, you know, there was a legitimate enterprise system that's outside of the Tabor cap. That's stuff like, you know, state parks, the lottery, universities, things that don't really make sense. You know, you pay, it's more user-based. You pay a fee, you go into the state park. But it's become things that we don't have a choice in the matter. We have to have health insurance, and now there's a quote-unquote fee on a million Coloradans' health insurance plans. And we just see this as something the legislature is going to use more and more.
Instead of taxing us to death, they'll fee us to death.
Absolutely. Yeah, because people around Colorado keep saying, no, do more with what you have, do better with what you have. So we're trying to nip this in the bud, even though it's been happening for a while. But this really applies. I just want to make sure the details. I mean, if this only applies to things $100 million or more in the first 5 years, that's a massive number. And it doesn't apply to any local enterprises, so we're just not addressing those in this. But it is going to make a dent. It's going to send a message to the legislature that we don't want them using this loophole anymore.
Have you seen any polling on this as to where it's actually at? I mean, is it doing well, not doing well? I mean, we want this to pass, so we want a yes on this. How well are we doing in that area?
Yeah, we want a yes. It's not great. I think it's not great on either side. There's a lot of people that don't understand what enterprises are, and the ballot language is pretty confusing. So I think they look at it and either skip it. You know, people, if you're asking for a yes and people don't get it, they're either more likely to just not vote or vote no. So the latest polling I saw, neither side is anywhere near 50%. So we're just trying to get out that last minute, you know, make sure people know this is to vote on big fee increases.
Yeah, and I'm going to read you the language. Everybody understands what we're saying here because I've actually got it in front of me. So I want to read this, and this is a yes. Shall there be a change to the Colorado revised statute requiring statewide voter approval at the next even year election of any newly created or qualified state enterprise that is exempt from the Taxpayer Bill of Rights or TABOR? If the projected or actual combined revenue from fees and surcharges of that enterprise and all other enterprises created within the last 5 years that serve primarily the same purpose is greater than, to your point, Lindsay, $100 million within the first 5 fiscal years of the creation or qualification of the new enterprise.
Very mm-hmm. poorly worded, horribly worded.
It is. We had to go through the title board process, which, you know, if we were like the legislature and got to write our own ballot language like they did for Amendment B, we would be in.
So for everybody listening, Lindsay, explain that really quick. You go through that, explain that process.
Yeah. So we wrote, you know, what we thought was good ballot language that we thought explained the initiative. But you have to get it approved by four member, now I'm blanking, it was so long ago, but you have to get it approved by the title board, and they go through and, you know, monkey around with the language, and really, this, I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I think I'd have to be a lawyer to fully understand this. But we had some things that we wanted to make sure they did include, like fees and surcharges. You know, when people see fees, that's a clear red flag, I think. But, you know, it's just really confusing. So once the title board approves it, then finally we get to start collecting signatures. And you're working under the time constraint of having enough time to gather signatures for something for the ballot. And the wording constraints of the title board. But to explain what I meant by Amendment B is that's a referred measure from the legislature to repeal the Gallagher Amendment.
Right.
And in that case, the legislature, they write their own ballot language. They're the ones who approve it. And then that's what gets put on the ballot, which in this case is really, what they put on the ballot is really biased. It says without raising property tax rates in the first sentence, you will absolutely see a property tax increase. You will pay more in property
taxes
if you
because
vote yes on Amendment
B. And I've said this before, and I will, Andy and I went over these a couple of weeks ago, but I will say it again. And when it comes to Amendment B, repealing the Gallagher Amendment, do I particularly care for everything that's in the Gallagher Amendment? No, I don't. But here's my other take on it, Lindsay. Until I see language that says what we're going to replace it with, and I feel it's better than Gallagher, then for me, that's an automatic no. I don't want it repealed because I don't know what they're going to put in its place. Chances are it's going to be higher than I'm doing now.
Absolutely. There's three big problems with Amendment B. One, our taxes are going to be higher if this passes.
Yep.
Two, it won't help businesses. It freezes the business tax rate, which I think should be lower, but Amendment B doesn't do that.
No, it does not.
And three, there's no plan for what comes next. We're just supposed to trust the legislature to see what's
trust
in our
me.
Interest.
Yeah, that's all I want is for those knuckleheads to be in control now.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so that one is, again, that's a no. So, everybody listening, no on B, so no on Gallagher. Yes, on 117, we want to rein in their ability to just run this fee thing, you know, over and over and over again. In this particular language, it says enterprise, but just think of it as fees. We want no on fees, which means it's a yes on 117.
That's right.
Am I saying that all correctly? I believe I am.
Yeah, you did, I think. But we have a voter guide. You know, a lot of this is hard to remember. And the Blue Book, the legislature monkeyed around with that, too. So as far as I don't trust that, is you can throw out the pages that talk about the Amendment B in your Blue Book. But we have a ballot guide that we put out on our website. So that website, it's ColoradoRisingStateAction.org /2020-ballot. I'm sorry that's confusing, but I just go to Colorado Rising State Action on Facebook, and we'll have it posted there.
Well, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and I might, because I'm at the website, if you go to Colorado Rising States or ColoradoRisingStateAction.org and just click 2020 ballot, doesn't that explain it all right there?
Yes, that's where it is.
So that's the easiest way to do that. And it's actually, there's a really good explanation of all of that. And again, folks, bottom line, it's a yes. I know this is confusing sometimes. It's a yes on 117, and it's a no on B, which is the Gallagher Amendment.
Yeah, that's right. Yes on 117. 116 is also a great one. That's the across-the-board tax cut.
Yep, that's an easy one. Yep, I want a tax cut. Easy. And by the way, that one I think will pass because that's exactly what it says.
I think so, too. And 117 comes right after it. So you're going to vote on a tax cut. Just vote yes on B's as well.
And that's an easy one. So, again, that to me, those are not that complicated. But, you know, Lindsay, I can already tell you I've probably had, I don't know, a dozen or more people ask me, what do I vote on these, because they don't understand the language of this. So, yes, to your point, no. And Andy's, it wasn't written very well.
No. No, I mean, you have fee in there. That's one red flag in a sea of complexity.
Correct.
That doesn't sell.
Exactly.
That absolutely, simplicity sells, complexity repels. And that's just all there is to it.
Okay, so what, dumb question. We have simplicity on 116. How did that one get so simplistic?
Yeah, that's just the way the legislature approved it. It's pretty simple because we have a flat tax right now, and they just wanted to decrease that by a few, you know,
it's not much, but I'm surprised.
Right.
Honestly, I'm surprised it's on the ballot with this legislation.
Yeah, it actually got a lot of support. You know, there was going to be a tax increase, and it was actually a switch to a graduated tax system which would have increased taxes. And that didn't even get enough signatures to make it on the ballot. So if this tells you anything about, you know, where Colorado's priorities are, what they're excited about, that they want to keep more of their money and that they're not happy with the way the legislature is running things and the way they keep, you know, Coloradans vote against things and then they go and do it anyway.
Right.
And so they're not getting that message. I think these would help send them.
Okay, let's talk about 113, which is the national popular vote. That's a no. That's an easy one as well. That's an easy no.
We don't want a national popular vote. That's right. That's right. It's a little confusing because I think the way that the no side started promoting it, they were talking about, you know, it's the opposite of what the legislature did. We want the opposite of what they did. But you do want to vote no. We wanted to vote yes to get it on the ballot. Now I think I'm just confusing things more, but let's just keep it at no.
Yeah, it's a no. The bottom line is we want to keep the Electoral College. This would eliminate that in Colorado. Just think of it that way, folks. So, yeah, we do not. This is a no. We don't want a national popular vote. Proposition 115, 22-week abortion ban.
Yeah, we're a yes on that. You know, Colorado is one of only a few states that has no restrictions on abortion up until the moment of birth, and we think that there needs to be some restrictions.
We agree with you, by the way. So we're lock, stock, and barrel on these. Last one,
yeah.
Proposition 114, the gray wolf, which a lot of folks have not studied. I have a little bit. I'm with you. That's a no. We don't need a reintroduction of the gray wolf.
That's right. I think it's really weird that, you know, the front people on the Front Range, people in Boulder and Denver and me are getting to even vote on, you know, introducing gray wolves on the Western Slope. My parents live out there. They're really fired up about this issue. And wolves are already coming back in Colorado. This is a big one for me. You know, I've heard people say, there was one reporter that wrote, who doesn't want to hear a wolf howling in the distance while they're camping? And I was like, are you kidding me? If I'm camping, like, that's the last thing besides a bear.
And that's coming from somebody that knows nothing about how nature works, how the livestock industry works in this state, and so on.
Yeah. But quickly, before we finish up, I want to talk about Proposition 118.
Yes. No, in fact,
paid family leave.
No, we have time. Go ahead. That was my next one. Go ahead.
Okay. So this is a big no. Paid family leave, it's a mandatory payroll tax. So it's going to hurt people who make the lowest amount are going to be hurt the most by this, by more money coming directly out of their paychecks. And so we're a big no on that. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of money in a campaign against that one. So I don't think that's on a lot of people's radar. You know, of course, I empathize and I want to, I want people to be able to take care. You know,
I do too. Yeah, no, and I've said that as well, Lindsay. Yeah, I want people to have time to, you know, to take care of their family, whether that's the addition of a family member or the, you know, potential loss of a family member. I get that and I understand that, but I also don't think this is something that should be mandated whereby we all as employees pay a portion and then the employer, which I know there's some legal things in this or some language in this, I should say, where certain businesses, if they don't have enough employees, they don't have to pay it, just the employee does, which, by the way, I think is crap as well. If you're going to make everybody do it, you should make everybody do it. There shouldn't be any outs for somebody that has 10 or less employees, for example. If you're going to do this, it should be across the board. Every employer should pay. Every employee should pay. Because what we've got right now is ads running basically saying, oh, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yeah, coming from a guy that might have 3 employees, that's garbage.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's basically amounts to a $2 billion per year payroll tax increase.
Which, by the way, will not be enough to handle the way they're doing this, which means that one will run a loss, which means we'll then have to come back in on the backside as taxpayers and supplement that loss. So this is a big no, period.
That's right. And to that point, they're enterprising. This is on the ballot as an enterprise. So what happens is then there's a committee that's set up that basically can decide how they want to increase this payroll tax. So voters won't get a say in that.
Again, folks, everybody listening, 118, big time no. Are we as conservatives for, you know, families and having kids and all those different things? Absolutely. But I'm also one that says, Lindsay, this needs to be where that competitive edge of employers comes in. And if you're looking to hire people and you want to put a competitive edge against the next employer, then great. Come up with your own family leave thing that you want to do internally. Figure out a way to make that happen. That gives you the edge over the next employer. Let the free market handle this and leave the rest of it alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well said.
That's how I would say it. So, Lindsay, as always, thank you. What website, again, do they go to?
ColoradoRisingStateAction.org.
Perfect. Lindsay, thank you as all. Appreciate it always. Take care. Have a great week. We'll come right back. Ascent Health Center is up next. I know we went a little long there. We'll get back on track here in a few minutes, though. Ascent Health Center, though. Dr. Julie will join us tomorrow. She does on Wednesdays. Anything you need when it comes to your health, if you're just not feeling well, go see Dr. Julie. AscentHealthCenter.com, 303-343-8800.
Changes in your routine shouldn't stop you from achieving your health goals. John Rush recommends Dr. Julie Marchiol of Ascent Health Center as your personal weight loss guide, giving you the confidence that you need to see real results. Dr. Julie wants to provide, enable, and assist you in developing your highest quality of life. As she coaches you through the HCG diet program, you will start to see significant weight loss without starving yourself. HCG is a hormone that uses non-essential fat for energy. The homeopathic-based HCG diet teaches your body to burn excess fat first, leaving behind only the fat that your body really needs. Call Ascent Health Center in Lowry or Inglewood now. Schedule a free consultation with Dr. Julie to check your BMI and resting calorie burn. Call 303-343-8800 or visit RushToReason.com to find Dr. Julie now. Get the support you need to achieve the goal that you've been dreaming about.
John Rush believes there's no such thing as normal. You always need to stay focused on the future, and this current environment is no different. The only difference now is that you have a rare opportunity to beat your competition as they stay stuck in survival mode. Not one of John's small business clients shut down during the quarantine. And believe it or not, none of them has seen a drop in overall revenue compared to last year. Hire John and stay focused on the future. RushToReason.com.
Monsters. It's October and it seems they are everywhere. Kim Munson here. Wednesday, Liberty Toastmasters co-founder Brad Beck joins me. Brad explains that there are many imagined monsters that lurk in our local, state, and national government, service organizations, schools, and businesses, which are being molded into golems. In order to address these monsters, we must clarify what they are. Plus, Tim McCormick, DA candidate for Adams and Broomfield counties, shares the latest on community safety. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., and 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Mike from Parker joining us now. Mike, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon. Yeah, I called in last Friday. You were talking about Proposition 118 at the time. And you called a commercial out. And you said there was a guy that had a automobile repair shop.
He's a repair shop in town.
And I read the law, and the law says 10 or less people you can opt out.
Nine or less.
He wasn't lying, but
it's nine or less.
Yet on air, you called him a liar.
Yeah, and I don't know how many he's got, but it's a very deceiving ad because he makes it sound like businesses in general will not have to pay any kind of a portion of that employee's, you know, they won't have to match the employee's portion. He makes it sound like it's a really easy thing and it's just one of these things you automatically should vote on. And it's a crap ad. It is. It's garbage.
Okay. And John, I think we all can agree that across the board, you know, pretty much every political ad out there is very biased.
Yeah, yeah. The thing that really chaps me in this one, though, is when I've got somebody from my own industry that basically is in charge of, or if you would, is the face of a misleading ad. It's crap. And yeah, I'm ticked.
Okay. Now, one of the things I do want to talk about 118, though, is America does have a problem, and our problem that we're currently ranked 96th in the world in infant mortality rate after the child leaves the hospital, which means we're, I think, right after Ethiopia. We lose 25,000 children a year after leaving the hospital. And the main reason they say for that is because mom goes back to work 2 weeks after having the baby.
Who is
and
they?
The rest of the world,
Mike, who is they?
What?
They say.
Yeah, and where do those numbers come from? Because I've never been able to. You've told me this before. I've never seen those numbers.
I will send those links to you both on the infant mortality rate. You can Google it. But it says, you know, infant mortality rate in the U.S. after age, you know, is hideous. And you get ranked. But I will send those links to you. But if you look at the rest of the world, including China, you know, China gives, you know, 6 months paid maternity leave, you know, the Switzerland a year, Australia, you know, 4 months. Every country in the world gives anywhere from 4 weeks to 2 years of paid maternity leave. the U.S. is the only country in the world that does not get paid maternity leave. And there is a benefit, I believe, in my humble opinion, the most important time of a child's life is that first year. I think they need mom there. They need dad support.
I'm not going to argue that one. I agree.
And yet what we tell people in America is get back to work. I know your baby's 2 weeks old. Get back to work. Now, what will it cost the average person? The average person will pay $3 more per week. Now, the employer has to match the $3, and of course, it's on the average income. But yes, it's a lot more if you make a lot more money in Colorado. But for the people that it really impacts, I don't have any children that are of age. But if my daughter has a baby down the road, I would love for her the opportunity to us, including her, pay into this $3, $4, $5 a week into the paid maternity leave, and she gets, you know, whatever, 8 weeks off paid to be with her baby. And I don't care if it's your sister, your daughter. I would love for all mothers in America to have that bonding time with their kids. And yes, it costs me $5 a week. I'm fine with that. I would love to see that happen to America.
Okay. But to me, that's where, as I said earlier, if employers want to have an edge over the next employer and they want to create their own family, you know, leave, you know, policy, if you would, and they want to do something internally, more power to them. I don't want that to be nationalized.
You're right, but the
and or and or statewide. I don't want that as I don't want that to be a right. Colorado statewide thing either.
But the thing is, for the most part, I mean, the thing with capitalism is the definition of capitalism or a corporation is to maximize profits. And how do you maximize profits? You minimize cost. And by minimizing cost is you want to pay the least wage possible for quality employees. And you do that by not paying paid maternity. I mean, there's a lot of people in America that would have loved to have slavery still in America. But the Constitution, you know, we had a big war over it, said there's no more slavery. A lot of people, millions of people, half of America wanted slavery because it maximized their profits. And sometimes the country has to step in or the state has to step in and say, look, there is a minimum wage. There is OSHA. There is, you know, federal, you know, laws on the highway. You have to have the government step in sometimes and say, we want to benefit the people. And we see paid maternity leave as benefiting mothers and
yeah,
children.
Yeah, Mike, enough. Okay, how long do you want paid maternity leave to go? How many weeks? How many months? How many months does this person who chose on their own to have a child get to
right.
be pulled out of the workforce and have all her coworkers pay for it? Okay?
Yeah,
because
what's the magic
let me
I'm
tell
not the expert.
Let me, yeah, let me, I'm not done. Let me tell you something, Mike.
Okay.
This cripples workplaces, okay? This cripples a lot of workplaces where everybody else is busting their ass, and this person gets to, because they made a choice to have a child and you didn't, they get to be gone, and you've got to hold that position. You have to hold that position. You can't hire somebody else in unless it's a temp, and that's not going to work out, okay? You have to hold that position for them that entire time. Oh, and by the way, we're also going to take some of your pay and more money from your employer, which means it can't be paid to you for other promotions and things. We're going to take that out and we're going to give that to them because they made a decision that you didn't. What about having people in America pay for their own decisions, Mike? How about that? What about having people be responsible for their own decisions?
Which, by the way,
what about having
are,
people
you,
in America?
Well,
when did it become heartless to ask people
not.
To take responsibility for their own
it's not.
Decisions.
Which, Mike, by the way, you and I both did.
Well,
Andy didn't, but you and
right.
I did.
I've never had
right,
kids,
but, well,
Mike. Why am I paying?
You and I have,
right.
Mike, and we figured it out on our own.
Correct.
For crying out loud,
yes,
I'm still not done. You already get all these tax breaks for having kids. I don't get any.
Yes,
I pay
yes.
higher taxes to compensate. I'm already paying for your kids. I'm paying for your kids to go to school. I'm paying for your kids now. I'm paying for the wife to stay at home longer while we hold a position and other people have to work harder. Well, how much more do I have to pay for somebody else's decisions, Mike?
And by the way, Mike, that's true even, you know, for you and I whose kids are now grown,
right.
I'm now in Andy's boat as well where I've paid for years even though I
right.
sent my kids to private school.
And I still pay.
I paid for everybody else's kid to go to public school. You've heard me say many, many times on this program, I'm
right.
tired of paying for public school.
And you and I agree on the public school. I think vouchers would be great because our public schools have failed America. But to go back to Andy, you know, I am okay with paying that. And I'll paraphrase with Benjamin
Then
Franklin.
You pay it, Mike.
You say, Right, but if that's why it's put up to the voter. But I'll paraphrase with Benjamin Franklin, who said, in America, you will pay higher taxes for the public good. If you don't like it, leave America and live amongst the savages.
You could take that to the extreme of anything. In that case, none of my choices matter. The majority should decide every bit of where my dollar is spent.
Okay,
with that, guys, we put up to the voters.
Okay, with that, I got to take a break. Mike, thanks. Andy, great comments. Joe, John, and Cheyenne, hang tight. We'll come right back. You have a special guest joining us. We'll try to put him off so we can take these as well. We'll be right back, though. Mighty Hand Construction is next. When it comes to anything you need, Northern Colorado, I need to start specifying that. Mighty Hand Construction is there for you. So if you need anything done around the house, they're your company. Go to klzradio.com, 970-844-9191.
It's time to stop painting over the damage and replace your siding. You'll be costing yourself more money in the long run by painting over wood rot and split boards every few years instead of committing to a full exterior redo with Mighty Hand. Micah and his team offer Diamond Coat siding, which comes with a 30-year, no paint, no fade warranty, so you'll have great-looking, durable siding for decades. You've been putting it off because you know it's a big expense. But you're not planning to move anytime soon, and you do want to feel like you're living in a nice place. Use some of that refi money to hire a local business you know will do a good job. As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand Construction can handle any exterior work in Northern Colorado, including roofing, siding, windows, driveways, decks, and more. Ask Micah and his team for an estimate on a full exterior redo at klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, if you need help paying for some of the things we just talked about with Mighty Hand Construction, talk to Kurt. Now, he works all over the state. Doesn't matter whether you're south, north, east, west. Doesn't matter. Kurt can help you. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Joe from Castle Rock joining us now and has a comment, I think, on what Mike talked about. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I wish I would have kept him on. By the way, you know, Mike is great for implying that correlation there's causality tied to correlation. Do you know that 99% of heroin addicts drank cow's milk before the age of one? Did you know that?
That's why I won't drink cow's milk. Because I don't want to be a heroin addict.
But that's my point. I can say here's the correlation. 99% of cow, you know, well, and I'm looking at the data about this infant mortality. Black mothers have 2.5 times the rate of infant mortality than white mothers, and 3 times as many as Asian. And then you dig down, and they talk about crack babies, you know, low birth weight babies, premature babies. Yeah, it's sure the numbers may show that we have a higher rate, but how many crack babies get born in Denmark every year?
None.
You know,
very few.
You know, how many 4.5 pound well crack said. Babies? So just because Michael can produce statistics doesn't mean there's causality that we have a crappy healthcare system in this country.
Well, or that we have, you know, babies that are just dying on the streets because they were born 2 weeks ago.
Because mom
went back to work.
Well, and that's the point, John, is that I'm looking at the vast majority of these mothers are single black mothers who aren't going back to work to begin with.
Correct. They're babies on the system.
Their babies, they are home with their babies, and the babies are still dying. So, you know, having paid family leave is not,
it's not going to fix that. No, well
said. It's not going to fix that.
Well said, Joe. Well said. So, appreciate it. And I apologize. We got a room. We got a special guest joining us. I have to answer a question real quick, though, for John and Cheyenne on Proposition 117. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I have parents in Colorado there, and I guess I was totally wrong on 117, and I gave them the wrong advice. I got an important question to ask you.
Yes.
It's a two-part question. Who sponsored and got that on the ballot, and who was behind it? And the second part is, I cannot understand mathematically how that works to establish a fee rate. I'm afraid years from down the road, you're going to use this as a shell game to play games with your mathematical genius.
They will, and that's, we want to vote yes on 117 so that they have to get approval to establish new enterprises. And that was done by Colorado Rising Action. We just heard from Lindsay a few minutes ago. And the problem was, once that went through the title board, it got all changed around as far as the wording, and they made it confusing. It wasn't that way on our side initially going through the process. The title board is the one that changed all that.
So if this gets approved, they're not going to use this to run a scam on.
No. If this is approved, the legislature cannot just charge us in Colorado a fee because they feel like it. Right now, if they want to tack a fee onto anything, they can. There's no law, because that's outside of our Tabor law in Colorado.
Well, I'll let my family know that I was wrong.
Yes, we want a yes on 117.
I read it several times. I cannot make heads or tails.
Yes, because it's very confusing to Andy's point earlier. You are right, John. Not a problem.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome. Yes, on 117. Paul Rubin joining us now. Paul, sorry, we got on some topics and things just sort of blew up. I appreciate you joining us. And by the way, right along the lines of what we're going to talk to you about, which is a new book, A Student's Guide to Socialism, How It Will Trash Your Lives. And we appreciate you joining us, Paul.
Well, thank you for having me.
No, you're very welcome. In fact, as we've got several things in Colorado, as I'm sure across the country, same situation. We've got some things on our ballot that, you know, we're working through. What you vote yes, you vote no, and so on. And in a lot of cases, Paul, we're voting on things that basically would just establish more socialism in Colorado.
Well, that's a danger all over the country right now, not just in Colorado.
So your guide, A Student's Guide to Socialism, talk to us about it.
Well, I was a professor till recently. I retired now, but and I've been reading that students, young people who are roughly my students or the age of my students, are becoming socialists. And two things. First of all, the main point of the book is that for young people, socialism is really stupid. It just will hurt them in many, many different ways.
Yep.
And also, I felt a little guilty. You know, we economics professors particularly, hadn't done a good job of teaching our students. If we had, they wouldn't be socialists. So it was a little bit of guilt and a desire to try to tell people the truth, try to tell students, young people, the truth about socialism. So, you know, maybe if they read it and if they understand it, they would maybe change their minds. But the way the world is socialism, if we were to adopt it, would hurt young people more than anyone else. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, Andy talked earlier. We were talking to one of our financial gurus in the first hour, and, you know, this stimulus that, you know, I am not for, but a lot of people are, to Andy's point earlier, we're basically just putting that on our kids' credit card when we do any kind of stimulus, and we continue to raise the deficit and the debt in the country. You know, we're at $20 trillion, and as that continues to rise, Paul, we're just writing a check based upon the bank account of future generations. And so, yeah, to your point, this isn't hurting you and I as much as it's hurting the next generations, plural.
Right, and as we go towards more regulation and more government control of the economy, which is what socialism is.
That's right.
Not just, as we go towards more of that, the rates of growth of GDP, rates of growth of income, will become smaller. And of course, you know, I mean, I'm an old guy, so I don't, doesn't affect me any. But a young person has 40 years to work, and will simply make less money under socialism than he or she would otherwise. And other things. I mean, young people I have a little vignette in my book about a guy who wants to go to a Bernie Sanders rally, and he uses his iPhone and his gets on a Uber, and he calls his buddy and all these things that young people use all the time. They can't live without them. Were all invented by capitalist firms in a capitalist economy. And
that's
there's
right.
more coming. I mean, there's artificial intelligence is coming. All sorts of biotech, and yet if we go toward socialism, it doesn't pay for people to invest in developing those things, because their taxes will be higher, and so lo and behold, these kinds of new inventions will simply be gone.
Paul, isn't a lot of the amongst young people, isn't a lot of the allure of socialism the allure of control? Socialism is an economic system by which you can control others and make them live the way you want them to live. And what I've really seen amongst young people in America today is an intense desire to force other people to live by their standards, be it environmentalism, be it, you know, social standards, be it so many things. You need to pay this much of a minimum wage. You need to cover this. You need to spend your money the way I want you to spend your money. If you are not, I will outvote you and take your money. I mean, isn't that kind of the allure, is control?
Some of it is that, maybe a lot of it, but of course, very few of us will be in control. I mean, the government will be in control, and any particular individual will be controlled.
True.
Socialism controls, as you say, controls people, and most of us, or most of them, won't be the dictator. Most of them will be controlled by whoever is in power. So if they're out for control, they're misguided, because they simply won't get it. Someone else will get it, and they'll be controlled, which is another strange thing. You know, these young people, they're sort of just getting out of the house, and if they start in college, and their parents aren't controlling them anymore, and they're very happy about that. But lo and behold, they're pushing for a government that will control them instead.
True, but so, I think, but Paul, I agree with that. But I really believe that they believe that if they get like-minded people in power, then they can control society through those people who are running the government. Does that make sense? If you're an environmentalist young person and you get Biden in power, you can control all of Americans' lives environmentally. And the environmentalists here in Colorado, they put Polis in power, and now the environmentalists here feel extremely powerful because of that.
Yeah, of course, environmentalism depends upon wealth. And as we move towards socialism, the economy becomes poorer. And even though people think they're going to get it, in fact, they get less. Every
right.
socialist countries have gotten less environmentalism.
Very true.
And to you guys' point, Paul, I think some of these kids have this utopian idea that, you know, under socialism, you know, you work a 30-hour week, you know, everybody helps each other, you know, you end up with all this time off. It's just this utopian sort of a lifestyle, which, frankly, Paul, doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist, and that's part of that. That was one of the points in my book, was to point out that it doesn't exist, and that in fact it's the exact opposite of what they expect. And I don't know. Most books on socialism talk about how much of it's been a failure in the past. I don't really do that so much. What I do in this book is say, what will the future be like if it's socialist? And that's where.
Paul, you won't have the great inventions that. You know, I watched the Apple, the keynote address today on the new iPhone 12 that's coming out, and that's a product that was, you know, introduced in 2008, as has grown since. And let's face it, we wouldn't have smartphones today had it not been for capitalism.
No, that we wouldn't have. That's right. We wouldn't have we wouldn't have much. I mean, actually, under non-capitalist systems, which most of human history we've had. There was no invention. I mean, it's only when we started capitalism and created property rights and inventions that we were able to get all the things that we get. And non-capitalist economies don't invent things.
No. And I'll even go as far as to say this. Even some of the things that did get invented in my day, we called it USSR, you know, Russia, Soviet Union back in our day when we were kids, Let's face it, right. The only reason why some of the inventions came out of the Soviet Union was because of the competition that they saw with the United States and the fact that they wanted to be better than us. If it hadn't been for us, they wouldn't have invented any of those things.
Good example, race to the moon. Well,
right? Am I right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the main thing they invented were military things. I mean,
true.
Really,
AK-47 being one.
I went to the Soviet Union once, and I was willing to deal in black markets, so I had very cheap rubles, and I could buy whatever I wanted. There's nothing I wanted. There wasn't anything that was worth buying, even with a greatly discounted ruble, because they just didn't make any decent consumer products.
Yeah, and there's real quick along these lines, Andy and Paul, there's even articles written about how even socialist and communist countries benefit from the capitalist countries because of the things I just mentioned a moment ago.
Right, right. Sure, that all the inventions they claimed were actually invented in capitalist countries and still are. And if we go to a socialist economy, it won't pay for people to invest in inventions, so there won't be any.
Paul, when you're speaking to young people, because this is a student's guide to socialism,
correct.
How do you overcome the caring and fairness belief that young people have? Basically this, socialism says, take more from this guy, he's got more, give it to that guy, he's got less. It's basically Marxism, from each according to his ability to each according to his need. You know, make sure no one's in need. That sounds good. It sounds fair. How do you overcome that with young people so they can see that's a road to nowhere?
Well, for one thing, I have a whole chapter in my book about who the rich people are, and I take the example. I take the top 10 people in the Forbes annual thing, and it turns out that the rich people, by and large, are people that invented stuff that the kids use. Steve Jobs, the White family, or Gates, people like that, people who invented the things that the young people like to use. And so I said, we get these inventions because people are willing to invest, and these are the things that you like. And again, the incentives aren't there. In terms of fairness, you know, the U.S. economy is, there's very few poor people in it. I mean, most people, even the poor, are really wealthy by world standards. They I forget the number, but it's like 70 or 80% of the people have widescreen TVs and things of that sort. So we really aren't. There really isn't as much poverty as the people might think.
No.
And if we try to get rid of it, again, there's a cost to getting rid of it.
Yeah, and there's an old saying, and it's very true, Paul. As the wealth of the United States rises, so does the whole world's rise. And the reality is, the better we do as a country, the better the whole world does. The world doesn't look at it that way, but that's the facts.
That's right. I mean, the inventions that we have, the things we buy, all benefit the, as you say, the rest of the world as well.
But Paul, if John has a wider screen TV than I do, isn't he oppressing me?
Yeah, I am.
I mean,
yeah.
Shouldn't I be making Molotov cocktails and go?
Yeah.
Shouldn't I be screaming outside his home because he needs to be uncomfortable?
That's a fact.
Yeah, I
probably not.
You should go to work and make a little more money and get your own water.
Oh, there you go, Paul. You're my guy.
He's no fun.
Paul, I love you. Thank you for joining us again, folks. And Paul, where do folks get the book? How do they get it?
That's right, just on Amazon. It's available either in a paperback version or in Kindle.
Okay.
And it's again, I don't know who your listeners are, but it's called The Student's Guide. And so they can get it themselves. And I hope, suspect that many people will get it for their descendants, their children.
Yes,
their
kids, grandkids, et cetera. No, you're exactly right. Paul, appreciate it very much.
And it's not very expensive. The paperback's only about $15-16.
There we go.
It's not a huge investment. Okay.
I appreciate it. And it is an investment. So, Paul, thank you very much. Paul Rubin, again, Student's Guide to Socialism, How It Will Trash Your Lives. And he is an economist, as you just heard a professor. So we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Pure for Chevrolet is up next. And if you want to buy a new or used vehicle, it's the place to go. They've got some great deals on used cars, new cars as well. 303-659-8311 or purefoychevrolet.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, and if you want to buy that big screen TV and you want to have it in retirement, you want to be able to sit back and relax and watch it, you need Al. He'll show you how to make all that work.
I think I do need Al.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Al's your guy. KLZradio.com, 303-744-1128.
In order to make informed decisions about your financial planning, you need to find your purpose in retirement. As a chartered financial consultant and the founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith isn't a life coach, but he does believe that your finances should fulfill a purpose. Too many people focus exclusively on accumulating more wealth without considering how they want to spend their time. One of Al's clients rebuilds churches damaged by hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Another client drives veterans to their doctor's appointments. One retired lady hunts black bears with a bow and arrow. Another gentleman creates beautiful wooden bowls. How you plan to spend your time should determine how you invest your money. That's the difference between wealth accumulation and retirement planning. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial today at klzradio.com/money. Find your purpose in retirement. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors and SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Charlie. Joe joining us now. Joe, welcome back.
All right, thanks, guys. Hey, I just want to answer Andy's question. Andy, you asked your last guest about what he say to young people about things not being fair. And the issue with that is that it has become a mistaken belief that if in order to be good, something has to be fair, and if it isn't fair, it isn't good. And I'm here to tell you that is the biggest lie that's been brainwashed into young people. Fair and good are not synonymous. And let me give you an example. I used to travel to Moscow back when it was the USSR, and I traveled to Moscow after the USSR dissolved, and here's my observation. In 1982, it was one of the fairest places in the world. Everybody had to wait in line for an hour to buy a loaf of bread, and at 2 o'clock, all the stores closed because they were out of bread by 2 o'clock. But it was fair because everybody stood in line. Now, USSR collapsed, and 5 years ago and today, you can walk into any store in Moscow at 10 o'clock at night and walk out 3 minutes later with a loaf of bread under your arm. Is it fair? Hell no. You got rich people, you got poor people. But you ask any Muscovite, do you want to go back to when it was fair? And they'll tell you, hell no, because fair was not good. It was fair, but it was terrible.
So what you're saying is you're not going to join me in marching out in front of John's home because I want a bigger TV.
So no. He wants me to shave 2 inches off mine and give to him.
Well, I think it's only perfectly fair. I mean, for crying out loud, he's holding me down.
but Andy, the answer, what you tell young people, I hope your listeners can pay attention, fair and good are not synonymous.
No, they're not.
That is a great story, by the way, Joe. Yeah. What you just said with Moscow, that is an awesome story. It's quick. You can tell that to young people. Hey, man, there was a time when everybody got the one loaf of bread. They all waited. And then they were out at 2, and now anybody can get it. It takes a couple minutes, but you have rich and poor. You have disparity.
You have disparity, but you can buy a loaf of bread at 10 o'clock at night in and out of the store in 3 minutes because there's bread everywhere. It's not fair. You know, you got billionaires in Moscow now, and you got poor people, but you can buy a loaf of bread at 10 o'clock at night. And nobody, and I've talked to Muscovites, you know, I've talked to waiters, I've talked to concierge, I've talked to our business associates. Nobody wants to go back to fair.
And real quick, by the way, just a side note, and I think this just coincides with the election and Trump, by the way, because I was just saying during break that, you know, you watch the likes of Bill Gates, who I think now has this guilt of being a billionaire, and he wants to basically, you know, put everybody on the same fair, quote unquote, playing field. And I'm not going to get all the other things about Bill Gates that I hate, but that's just one of the things that I dislike about the guy. Contrast that, by the way, with Donald Trump, who, by the way, doesn't apologize for any of his wealth
right.
because he knows he worked hard. He knows he made it. He knows that fair doesn't exist. He knows that you get there where he's at by just working harder than the next guy, right?
Right. Right. And let me make a comment about entrepreneurship. You look at guys like Jobs and Wozniak. You know, Obama made this derogatory comment about people who won the lottery or something. The reason we have so much innovation in this country is that we have people who are willing to risk everything.
That's right.
Because they know if I take the risk and if I succeed, I will become very, very rich. In Moscow, if you invent something, or under the USSR, if you invented something...
It was the states.
No, it belonged to the state.
That's right.
So why would you gamble? Why would you mortgage your house? Why would you run up your credit cards and come up with an iPhone if, after you successfully developed it, the state said, thank you very much, you know, here's your medal, here's your plaque, it belongs to us now. That is why innovation, and let's go back.
I would do it out of my love for the collective.
Yeah.
And I told John, I think I told this, John, a year ago, if you look back, there's a list of the 100 greatest, or the 100 most important, not necessarily beneficial.
Inventions.
Most important, they had the biggest impact in society in the 20th century. 99 out of 100 came out of capitalist countries.
That's right.
The only one that came out of a socialist country was Russia, and that was the AK-47.
Yeah, as I mentioned it a minute ago, yeah, the AK-47.
Right.
It's the only
right.
thing that came out of Russia.
Right.
You know, and that's probably even debatable as to whether or not that actually benefited the world.
No, it didn't. The list wasn't benefit, had the greatest impact. And the AK-47
had a big impact.
It is the most widely reproduced
mm-hmm.
weapon in the world. You know, all the African revolt. I mean, the AK-47, I think, has been produced in 39 countries and produced by
yep.
hundreds of millions.
And it is so simplistic in design. It always functions. It always shoots. Even though it's a piece of crap in my book, it still shoots every time.
Right. So the list wasn't most beneficial.
Yep.
It had the biggest impact on society.
Yep.
And the only one that came out of a socialist country was the AK-47. Every other...
Yep.
Now, by the way, on the list, by the way, was the atomic bomb. Okay? Not
right.
beneficial,
right.
but it had impact on the world.
There you go. Joe, got to run. Thank you very much. Good stuff, as always. Enchanted Kitchens, by the way. If you want that kitchen done by Christmas, go to klzradio.com, 303-376-7588.
Transform your kitchen into a place where you and your guests want to be. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens loves hearing from their clients once they start enjoying their new space. They hear all the time that people start cooking more often, spending more time in the kitchen. Your kitchen becomes the place where kids and grandkids naturally gather to chat. All of those little details, which you and the Enchanted Kitchens design team plan out so thoughtfully ahead of time, work together to create a space that feels comfortable and inviting, so everyone gravitates toward the kitchen more often. Many clients even say they spend more time at home because they enjoy their houses more. Your kitchen becomes the place where you and your guests want to be. You have time to transform your kitchen before the holidays, but you need to begin now. Mention Rush to Reason for a free in-home design consultation. klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, 30 seconds. Say what you just said, Andy.
The big problem with Bill Gates is he succeeded with capitalism and now wants to take it away from everybody. Donald Trump succeeded with capitalism, and he wants everyone else to follow him on
right.
the ladder he took to success. Bill Gates wants to eliminate that
right.
ladder.
Donald Trump wants to give you what he's had. Bill Gates wants to take away from you what he has.
Right.
Best way to say that?
Yes. Yes. Capitalism propelled him to a place
right.
where he can now deny it to others.
To you. That's exactly right. John Zmarek is going to join us here in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hour 3 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.